Hey everyone, welcome back to MarketSnap. If you're thinking about buying JPM at today's price, stop for a second. We're running it through the MarketSnap valuation model, the same checklist we'd use before risking real capital. Does the math justify the price, or is the market already ahead of itself? Let's dig into the numbers and find out. JPMorgan Chase isn't just another bank, it's the largest bank in America by assets, with a market cap hovering near $1 trillion. When we talk about JPM, we're talking about a financial heavyweight that touches nearly every corner of the global economy, from Main Street checking accounts to Wall Street's most complex deals. Now, the stock has been on an absolute tear recently, up nearly 20% over the last 3 months and over 18% in the past year. But here's the question that matters. At roughly $356 a share, are you paying a fair price for the earnings power this institution actually generates? That's what we're here to figure out. Let's set the stage on what JPMorgan Chase actually is. Founded in 1799 and headquartered in New York, this is a diversified financial giant operating across four main segments: consumer and community banking, the commercial and investment bank, asset and wealth management, and corporate. Under the leadership of Jamie Dimon, who's been at the helm for nearly two decades, JPM has built a reputation as the gold standard in banking. They serve millions of consumers, major corporations, and high net worth clients across North America, EMEA, Asia Pacific, and Latin America. With over 320,000 employees, this isn't just a bank, it's an economic engine. The company generates roughly $280 billion in annual revenue, and the earnings power here is staggering. Net income came in around $57 billion in the most recent fiscal year. That's not a typo. $57 billion. When you break down where that money comes from, you start to see why JPM is such a resilient machine. The commercial and investment bank leads the way, pulling in about $78.5 billion in revenue. Right on its heels is consumer and community banking at roughly $76 billion. That's your credit cards, mortgages, and everyday banking. Asset and wealth management adds another $24 billion, and there are a few billion more in corporate and other segments. Geographically, North America dominates with about $140 billion in revenue, while EMEA contributes around $24.5 billion, and Asia Pacific chips in $14 billion. That diversification is the secret sauce. When capital markets slow down, consumer spending might pick up the slack. When rates compress, wealth management fees keep flowing. It's a portfolio of businesses that smooths out the bumps. Now let's talk about the earnings engine, because this is where JPM separates itself from the pack. In the most recent fiscal year, revenue grew to nearly $280 billion, up from about $271 billion the year before. Net income came in at $57 billion, with diluted earnings per share at roughly $20.05. But the more interesting story is the trajectory. Go back to 2020, and JPM was earning just under $9 a share. By 2023, that had climbed to over $16. Last year, it was nearly $20. That's more than doubled earnings per share in half a decade. And that's with massive investments in technology and branches along the way. The first quarter of this year continued that momentum with net income of $16.5 billion. Management has been talking about the resilience of the consumer base, and the credit trends in the card business are actually improving. Charge-offs appear to be past their peak, which is a good sign for loan quality going forward. The return on equity sits at nearly 18%, which is exceptional for a bank of this size. And they've been returning mountains of capital to shareholders. The dividend is $6 a year, and they've been aggressively buying back stock, reducing the share count by roughly 2.5% annually. Let's take a closer look under the hood at the balance sheet, because for a bank, this is where the real story lives. Total assets sit at a staggering $4.4 trillion. Total equity is about $362 billion. The debt-to-equity ratio is around 3.3 to 1, which sounds high until you remember that deposits are technically liabilities for a bank, and JPM has an enormous deposit base funding its operations. What really stands out is the fortress balance sheet. JPM has consistently maintained capital levels well above regulatory minimums, which gives them the flexibility to lend through downturns, buy back stock when prices are attractive, and weather storms that sink smaller competitors. The price-to-earnings ratio is about 15.5 times trailing earnings. For a bank with 18% ROE and this level of earning stability, that's not demanding. The price-to-book ratio is around 2.5 times, reflecting the market's willingness to pay a premium for quality. Free cash flow has been lumpy, that's just the nature of banking. But in the most recent year, operating cash flow came in at over $100 billion. The gross margin sits at about 63%, and net margins are nearly 22%. Now let's break this down into a proper SWOT analysis, because every investment thesis needs to account for both the tailwinds and the risks. Starting with strength, this is where JPM shines. The diversification across consumer banking, investment banking, and asset management creates multiple revenue engines that perform across different economic environments. The brand is synonymous with stability, and the management team under Jamie Dimon is widely considered the best in the business. An 18% return on equity with a fortress balance sheet gives them firepower that virtually no competitor can match. On weaknesses, size itself can become a constraint. JPM is so large that finding growth opportunities big enough to move the needle is increasingly difficult. Regulatory scrutiny is intense. They're constantly in the crosshairs of policymakers who worry about a bank this big being too interconnected to fail. And that massive scale means operational complexity that smaller, nimbler competitors don't have to manage. The opportunities are substantial. The card credit trends are improving, suggesting consumer losses are peaking. There's continued potential in wealth management as assets under management grow with market appreciation. And JPM's massive technology investments, over $15 billion a year, position them to capture efficiency gains that smaller banks simply can't match. If rates stay elevated longer, the net interest income tailwind continues. But the threats are real too. Interest rate risk cuts both ways. If the Fed cuts aggressively, net interest margins compress. Competition from fintechs and regional banks for deposits has intensified. And there's always the macro risk. A recession would hit loan losses, trading revenue, and investment banking fees simultaneously. The model assumes a fairly benign environment, and that's worth remembering. Let's look at how JPM has actually performed for shareholders, because the price chart tells a compelling story. Over the past year, the stock is up about 18.5%. But zoom out to 5 years, and the picture is remarkable. JPM is up over 122%. That's not just beating the market, that's crushing it, all while paying a growing dividend along the way. The recent 3-month surge of nearly 20% suggests the market is pricing in continued strength. But here's what gives me pause. When a stock runs up that fast, it can get ahead of its fundamentals. The forward PE has compressed as earnings have grown, but the price-to-book multiple of 2.5 times is meaningfully above where the stock has historically traded. Breadth in the financial sector has been strong, with diversified banks up over 34% in the past year. JPM has been a leader within that group, which tells you the market is rewarding quality and scale. Now for the part that really matters. What is JPM actually worth? This is where we move beyond the story and into the math. For a bank like JPM, we don't use a traditional DCF model. Bank cash flows are notoriously volatile, and free cash flow doesn't mean the same thing for a financial institution as it does for, say, a software company. Instead, the MarketSnap model uses price to book as the primary engine, with forward PE as a supporting check. The logic is straightforward. JPM generates an 18% return on equity, and the market should be willing to pay a premium to book value for that kind of consistent profitability. The model applies a terminal PB multiple of 2 times, which is a reasonable premium over the industry average of about 1.6 times, justified by JPM's superior returns and capital generation. On the forward earnings side, the model applies a 15 times multiple, which reflects moderate EPS growth and the strong buyback program that's shrinking the share count by roughly 2.5% annually. So what does all this math produce? The market snap model puts fair value for JPM somewhere in the neighborhood of $280 per share. The stock is currently trading around $350. That means the stock is trading above our rough fair value zone, roughly 20% above what the model suggests. Now, before you panic, understand that these numbers are estimates, not gospel. The model is telling us that at today's price, the market is already pricing in a lot of good news. What drives this valuation? Three main factors. First, the terminal price to book multiple of 2x assumes JPM maintains its premium ROE. If that slips, the fair value drops. Second, the forward earnings multiple of 15x assumes continued EPS growth from both operations and buybacks. And third, the share count reduction of 2.5% annually is a meaningful contributor to per share value creation. Here's the thing about valuation models. Change the assumptions even slightly, and the output swings dramatically. If you think JPM deserves a 2.5x book multiple, given its quality, the fair value jumps well above the current price. If you think a recession is coming and earnings will contract, the fair value drops below 200. If you disagree with our inputs, plug in your own growth or discount rate assumptions on our intrinsic value calculator at marketsnap.com and see how the number shifts. All right, here's my honest take on JP Morgan Chase. This is one of the highest quality financial institutions on the planet. The management team is exceptional, the balance sheet is a fortress, and the earnings power is remarkable. If you're looking for a long-term compounder in the financial space, JPM is arguably the best option available. But here's the tension. The stock is trading above what our model says it's worth. At roughly $350, you're paying a premium for that quality. The model suggests fair value is closer to $280, which means the market has already priced in a lot of the good news. What does that mean for your money? If you put $10,000 into JPM today and the stock reverts toward our fair value over the next 5 years, that $10,000 could end up around $7,900. That's a roughly negative 5% annualized return. Not the outcome you'd hope for from a world-class company. That said, if JPM continues to grow earnings and the market maintains its willingness to pay a premium for quality, the stock could certainly do better than the model suggests. The forward PE of 14 to 15 times is not expensive in absolute terms, and the dividend, while modest at under 2%, is growing and backed by enormous earnings power. My take, JPM is a wonderful company, but valuation matters. The current price bakes in expectations of continued perfection. I'd want a pullback toward the $300 range before putting new money to work. If you already own it, holding makes sense. This is a quality compounder. But for new money, patience might be the better play. What do you think about JPM? Do you think the premium is justified, or is the market getting ahead of itself? Leave your take in the comments below. Thanks for watching. If this helped you think through the story, hit like and subscribe for more stock deep dives. See you in the next one.